ends up being by the time we can get it approved, September 6th. And then we want to have a 2 or 3 weeks to tweak everything in the building so we can get settled in and kick off there. So praise God for that. He opened this door for us, and we're really excited about getting there and getting settled in as we go there. I'm going to talk about the baptism after the service, so I want to make sure that we're all on board for that for next Saturday. But let's go before the Lord and just ask Him to bless this day. It seemed like today's been kind of I don't know how to describe this morning. It's just been kind of a rushed morning for a lot of people. It's just been a lot of things happening, and we just want to just ask the Lord, the Spirit of Peace, just to kind of flow over our body this morning. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, and I thank You because You are a God of peace. You're a God of mercy. You're a God of grace. And Lord, You just pour out that upon Your people. Sometimes we get, this world just distracts us from whatever it is. It could be time. It could be schedules. It could be family. It could be anything, Lord, that just kind of weighs on us and pushes us around. And the enemy takes advantage of all of that. But this morning, Lord, we just release all that to You. And we ask in the name of Jesus that You open our hearts this morning to receive. So this is something that we see here. Jacob didn't deal with them then, but he didn't forget. And we're going to cover that into next week. Now verses beginning with verse 7 here. But as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath. And I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Then Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, "Who are these?" And Joseph said to his father, "They are my sons whom God has given me in this place." And he said, "Please bring them to me, and I will bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, "I had not thought to see your face, but in fact God has also shown me your offspring." So Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. So in other words, he did this. He crossed his arms because Joseph lined the boys up the way he wanted them to be. But Jacob crossed his arms. And he blessed Joseph and said, "God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, let my name be upon them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." Now when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, "Not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall also become a multitude of nations." So he blessed them that day, saying, "By you Israel will bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh." And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Now in that culture, in their day, the right hand always represented, and in a blessing, went to the one who had the natural birthright. That was the way it was supposed to be. And Manasseh was the older. He should have received the blessing of the birthright. But, you know, we saw the same thing with Esau and Jacob. Esau was supposed to receive the blessing. But because God had another plan, it was Jacob who received the blessing. And this is how God works. When God looks upon the heart of man, He knows before anybody else knows, before the man himself knows, before he even grows into himself, God knows what kind of man he's going to be. He also knows if he's going to follow him or if he's not going to follow him. Now, when you say that, that just puts a real dent into people who say, "Well, wait a minute, well, don't we have free choice?" Yes, you have free choice. But you're saying here that God predestines. Yes, He predestines. Well, how can you have both? It's because God is a God of all-knowing and all-power and all-wisdom, and His foreknowledge gives Him the knowledge that it's going to happen, but the person still has to make the choice. And it's not rigged. It's just God knows. And so it's something that we have to take those two thought processes, bring them together, because the Scripture supports both, and rather than arguing one point or the other, accept that God's bigger than we are, and we don't understand everything that He does. Otherwise, you go through life drawing hard lines in the sand. Oh, no, 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 that can't be so. This Scripture says that. Oh, no, 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 that can't be so. This Scripture says that. Yeah, they do not deny each other. They complement each other when you look at the full counsel of God and understand that He is a God of all knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and we are not. And men who come together to try to draw these hard lines in the sand do nothing but bring division. And we're not called to be divided in the church. We're called to be in unity in the church. So, when they would lay the right hand upon the one who had the birthright, Joseph specifically lined the brothers up where he wanted them to be. He knew the culture. He knew what was supposed to happen. So he lined them up in front of Jacob, so Manasseh would be in position to have Jacob place his right hand upon him to bless him. Jacob, like I said, crossed his hands and placed his right hand upon Ephraim's head. And the right hand has significance here. In Exodus 15:6, the Scripture says, "Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemies in pieces." Psalm 16:11, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And then Mark 14:60-62, this is when Jesus was being prosecuted, if you will, and standing before the Sanhedrin, and the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you?" But he kept silent and answered nothing. And again the high priest asked him, saying to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." So the right hand represents power. It represents authority. It represents blessing. And we, as believers, there's a term that I've heard many times throughout my years as a Christian, to receive the right hand of fellowship. I don't know if you've ever heard that term or not. And it's usually in a group where they have membership. But when they come in and they sign a card that they're a member, they've received the right hand of fellowship. Well, we don't have cards to sign. We have the Holy Spirit that sealed us in, and so we all have received the right hand of fellowship. And we're all in that position of receiving God's power, receiving His authority, and receiving His blessing, because He has poured out His Spirit upon His believers. And Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for us. And we receive that blessing of the right hand of authority. So the right hand represented these things. And Jacob knew that God was going to raise up Ephraim to be mighty. He knew he was going to stand out among the family of Joseph. And we see later on that this blessing came to pass. Moses, when he was blessing the people, spoke of how large Ephraim had become or will become. In Deuteronomy 33:13-17, as Moses is blessing Israel, he says, "And of Joseph he said, 'Blessed of the Lord is his land, for the choice things of heaven, with the dew, and from the deep lying beneath, and with the choice yield of the sun, and with the choice produce of the months, and with the best things of the ancient mountains, and with the choice things of everlasting hills, and with the choice things of the earth, and its fullness, and the favor of him who dwelt in the bush. Let it come to the head of Joseph, and to the crown of the head of the one distinguished among his brothers, as the firstborn of his ox. Majesty is his, and his horns are the horns of the wild ox. With him he shall push the peoples all at once to the ends of the earth. And those are the 10,000s of Ephraim. And those are the 1,000s of Manasseh." The 10,000s of Ephraim and the 1,000s of Manasseh. So God spoke. He spoke to Jacob to cross his hands. And that's what he did. The blessing came to Ephraim, and we see it came to pass. When God speaks it, it always is fulfilled. So we see that Jacob's words were fulfilled regarding Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, the hill country of Ephraim played host to much of the Old Testament. If you go back and you start reading through the Old Testament, the term Ephraim would come to encompass much more than just the boundaries of the tribe of Ephraim. In fact, the name Ephraim came to represent much more than simply the tribe, but also the entire northern kingdom of Israel. In Joshua 16:4-9, it says, "So the children of Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim took their inheritance. The border of the children of Ephraim, according to their families, was thus. The border of the inheritance on the east side was Atarah, Adar, as far as upper Beth Horon. And the border went out up toward the sea on the north." And when God makes a promise, he takes what's crooked and makes straight to make that promise be fulfilled. And we're a bunch of crooked people. I mean, you know, I walk crooked sometimes. I don't know about you, when, you know, I'm not all jubilant when I roll out of the bed in the morning. I mean, at some point in the day, I can run a 5K road race. Ran one Saturday. Felt good when I started. But it took me a while to get woke up for that. I can't run when I wake up. People who do morning exercise, Lord bless them. You know, it's just crazy to get up and go out there. I ran into one lady. She had her little boy or girl. She was pushing them around in a stroller, no running. I think she passed me at the half mile mark. Just cruising, you know. But she said she gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning, every morning, and goes for a run. Lord bless her. Bless her heart. I don't think I've seen the sunrise in a long time. I like the afternoons, even though it's hotter. I like to go about 8 o'clock when the sun's down and it's not beating on you. That's when I like to run. But the truth is that I walk a little crooked when I get up in the morning. We all have things in our lives. We're not, you know, from the physical side of things, we suffer because of sin. But the emotional things we suffer because of sin, the strain and the stress we have in our lives we suffer because of sin, that goes all the way back to Adam. But we can't blame Adam. We've made our own choices. So as fathers, as men, as we move forward in our lives, as we are understanding who we are in Christ, we have to understand that God has taken our sin and cast it as far as the east is from the west. And in Him, it's done. It's over. But we're still seeing the consequences. But in that, God still has blessing. And let's receive those blessings. Let's take a hold of those blessings. When we take a hold of Jesus, we take a hold of His blessing. We, again, the right hand of the Father is the blessing upon us. We receive Him. We have a blessing that He's given us. And the promise that He gave to Abraham has now been brought forth to us through Jesus Christ. The promise is fulfilled now for all of God's people who have received Jesus Christ. And so, rather than walking in guilt of our past, rather than walking in a beat-down mode in our past, and always feeling like we, you know, because of our sin, everybody suffers around us, let's begin to pray the blessings of God's right hand upon our children. Let's let God take His right hand and extend it. As we bless our children with our right hand, let God take His right hand and raise our children up to be who He wants them to be. And as He does that, what do we have to do? We have to let go. The hardest thing for a parent is to let go of your children. But who are we letting go to? When we let go of our children, we're not just casting them off and saying, "You're on your own." No. When we let go of our children, we're giving them to God, our Father, who has taken us out of the miry pit and the clay and has set us up upon a rock. That's what He wants to do for our children. But I'm going to tell you the truth, and this is something that's hard to grab a hold of. Too many times, as parents, we try to do God's job in our children's life. We're going to overprotect them. Don't let them suffer. Guard them in every way we can. And granted, as a father and a mother, that's what we want to do and should do to our limited ability. As we covered in our study on Wednesday, every desire of our heart is limited. But God is an unlimited power source. So when we release our children, we're not letting them go just to go off and just find their own way. We're releasing them that God may bring them through what they have to go through to where He can work in their lives and they receive Him in accordance to His Word. That's what He did with me. That's what He did with all of you. It wasn't your parent that saved you. And the truth is you had to go through. Most of us in this room have hit some pretty low spots. And when we hit that low spot is when we realize we're not in control. And again, speaking to young people this morning who might be listening, you're not in control of your life. You just think you are. You don't know everything you think you know. And you don't realize that till you get older and you realize you don't know anything. I mean, the older I get, the dumber I get. I had it all figured out at 20. By 30, I thought I had it all figured out. By 40, I realized I didn't have a whole lot figured out. And today, I don't know nothing. I just know that God knows all. And I would rather trust Him with it than to try to take it upon myself, because I can't fix anything. Nor can you fix anything. So I want to just encourage you this morning. I know that we have struggles in families. I know that we have issues that we can't understand. And some of those issues bring us into a place of anger. Sometimes they bring us into a place of tears. Sometimes they bring us into a place of just complete distraught, don't know what to do. Why is this happening in my family? Why am I going through what I'm going through? But the truth of the matter is if you release it to God now, God will take you and He will raise you up out of that. And not only will He raise you up out, He will give you the ability to love those that you right now sometimes don't even like. Your own parents. Because sometimes our parents disappoint us. But God is a Father who will not disappoint. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. And what does He say? He says He will bless the merciful. He gives mercy to the merciful. So He takes us through these hard times to teach us how to have mercy. And as we have mercy, He has mercy. And His mercy flows far beyond anything we can even imagine. His word is always true. He will always guide. He will always strengthen. He will always protect. He can always be trusted. And we just have to take a hold of that truth and wrap our arms around it and don't let it go. His word will never return void. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." We need to take a hold of His word. We need to not treat it casually. We need not to read it occasionally as a passing, "Oh, well, I got to read a chapter today, or I got to read a verse today," or whatever. I'm not against daily devotions. I think daily devotions are wonderful, but I think daily reading is more important than the daily devotion, which means rather than going into a book and taking a paragraph about something and a scripture verse and reading that and going off about your day, and I do those things. Don't get me wrong. I think they're important. But more importantly is to taking the Word of God and begin to go through it cover to cover. Read, study, meditate upon His Word. You will gain so much more there than you will ever gain out of your 15-minute devotion. Because His Word, being broad, will touch your heart and bring you into that place where He wants you to be so you can grow and you can understand and you can become who and what He wants you to be. Father, we ask this morning that Your Word would come alive in our heart. And Lord, I do pray that as we grow, as we move forward in our lives, Lord, that we would understand the truth of Your Word and understand that it doesn't go back void, that it is always prosperous, it's always going to bless us, it's always going to be there for us. And it's our foundation. It's our source. And so, Lord, we take a hold of that source and we depend upon it. And in that, Lord, we come to You as our Father. And we know that You bless all of those around us because of our relationship with You. But they need You too, Lord. We can't save our children. We can't save people around us. But we can live a life of repentance and mercy and allow You to let that flow through us toward other people. And then as we release our children to you, you bring them, Lord, into the place where they may have to go through some hard times to be broken. But when they're broken, they realize that they need you, that they can't depend upon themselves. May you have your way, O Lord, in our lives. We thank you and we praise you and we glorify your name. And all God's people said, Amen.